second day because Zimbabwe Moshe Lingali, Chon and Janum, Chokas of Moshe, Kwaswai, Muri Zimbabwe. Welcome, welcome, welcome to everybody tuning in right now. Welcome to Live Talk, The Connection, Studio 7's very own youth program, brought to you by Live Talk, Studio 7, Voice of America, Muri Zimbabwe, on Tuesday, March 29, 2022. Chokas of Moshe, Zimbabwe Moshe. I'm your host, Mike Orley. Once again, we welcome you to Live Talk, The Connection, Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth-related. We're coming to you from my apartment in Washington, D.C. Now, tonight on The Connection, Muri Zimbabwe, we're going to be speaking to youth who emerged victorious, who won over the weekend at the March 26th by-election. However, the conversation is not just going to be ending there. Muri Zimbabwe, we're also going to be taking a look at what's happening in Ukraine. We're going to be focusing on the war between Russia and Ukraine, a war which has affected the lives of thousands of African students, amongst them Zimbabweans. So we're going to be speaking to them to hear more about how this war has affected their lives. Now, unfortunately, Muri Zimbabwe, tonight's program is a pre-recorded broadcast. What that means is you, our loyal listeners, will not be able to call in live as per usual. However, your feedback is still very important, Muri Zimbabwe. So please continue writing your comments in the comment section because we see that feedback. Please continue sharing the program so that we watch the program in our numbers. And most importantly, Lingaf, call his Luganda. Ufitizela lapha ukubhala ukuthi like. Ukufitezela uhat ukuze sibone ukuthi ngempela ngempela zulukandaba sisonke sithose phano kwachirongwa chebichobe chediki. However, as we speak, we're broadcasting our conversation on our two Facebook pages, that being VOA Studio 7, VOA Shona, and of course, VOA Ndebele zulukandaba. For our YouTube fanatics, we're broadcasting on YouTube as we speak. The official page is at VOA Zimbabwe. I repeat, at VOA Zimbabwe. So, Luna Koshi, if you're a YouTube fanatic and you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. And then lastly, for those that like watching the program on our three web pages, we're broadcasting on our three web pages as we speak, www.voazimbabwe.com, www.voashona.com, and www.voandribble.com. So, Lena Kotli, once again, Zulukandaba, ukufitizela lapha ukubhala ukuthi like. To press that like button, which of Tronos, I was a chocolate Muri Zimbabwe, Tilchose, Panopatrobo Chilichi, Iki, Sisonke like so, Konapen Sagazoni, where Studio 7. So, in our court, is Luganda Baba, Lani Jalama comments, who comment section, Uzas Wonu Sisonke, Wushelelechu, Lobasakula, yo. Now, to delve into tonight's discussion, as usual, we like to kickstart our program with an update of COVID-19 figures. Now, according to the most recent statistics released by Zimbabwe's Ministry of Health and Childcare, Zimbabwe currently has registered 245,927 COVID cases, 237,295 recoveries, and 5,438 deaths. Now, according to the latest information released last night, 107 new cases were detected, 454 recoveries, and zero deaths. To date, 4,971,541 have taken the first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. And for those that are fully vaccinated against the COVID-19, we're looking at 3,498,431. So those are the latest stats released by Zimbabwe's Ministry of Health and Childcare. Muri Zimbabwe, the goal is to reach 10 million people fully vaccinated so that Zimbabwe can achieve herd immunity. If you're tuning in right now, Muri Zimbabwe, you're tuned into Live Talk, The Connection. A shout out there to Mr. T. Darira, Swa Inindi Darira, just signal they're partnering up with Roots Africa for that important COVID-19 message. And Gezai Maoko Muria Zimbabwe, Linga Koshinjalo, would see COVID-19, Liprini, so Ali Iko, Naunkushano COVID-19, Loka Kumegila Pambi, Usabalala, Tatim Pilos, Abandu, so we are showing Pelu, just signal with Gezani Zanja, Linga Minyani, Jalo, Shonipa, imitate your corner, Kora, a mask. And make sure you practice social distancing. But now to delve into tonight's discussion, Muria Zimbabwe, March 26th, this past Saturday, Zimbabweans really did it all, Muria Zimbabwe. Over the weekend on Saturday, March the 26th, Zimbabweans from several different constituencies took to the polls to determine who would be the next councillor and who would be their next member of parliament. Now, in these 28 constituencies that were up for grabs, the Citizens Coalition for Change, led by Advocate Nelson Chamisa, really was dominant in these by-elections, marking themselves the official opposition to governing party ZANU-PF, after they managed to grab at least 22 of the 28 National Assembly seats that were up for grabs, and ZANU-PF is the ones that retained the rest, including some which were opposition strongholds that were up for grabs. Now, for more, let us head over to a report that was recently produced by VOA correspondent Columbus Mavunga, who explains more.
Douglas Bonzola's MDC alliance lost all seats to Nelson Chamisa's Citizens Coalition for Change in Zimbabwe's urban areas, but the two where by-elections were held. Bonzola says he's now looking forward to 2023 polls and wants electoral reforms.
Come next year, we will be having serious issues regarding the diaspora vote. So people in the diaspora must be allowed to vote, and we must push for these electoral reforms. And I think it is time that political parties, especially in the opposition, must forget their differences when we are dealing with these serious issues of reform.
Chamisa said his Citizens Coalition for Change party had issues with the way the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission had run the election, but was happy with the ultimate result.
And the people have expressed themselves. They've said what we want is the face of change. Citizens know their leaders. Citizens know what they want and who they want. And they've made an emphatic statement.
The ruling ZANU-PF party spokesman Christopher Mutangwa says his party is happy to have retained its two-thirds majority in parliament and gained two urban seats.
The people are rewarding us accordingly. So we are saying to the president, more of the message of progress, more of the message of prosperity, more hope for young people. And that is what is going to win us a tsunami of an election in 2023.
Gibson Nkazino, an independent analyst, sums up what happened over the weekend.
At a national scale, ZANU-PF has shown that it has the capability to mobilize. It still has an appetite to increase and mobilize the voting patterns of its members to win an election. Overall, we can say ZANU-PF it has won because it retained 7 seats and took 2 seats from the opposition to make them 9. Between the Citizens Coalition for Change and the MDC Alliance, this is just a contest to know who carries the history of the opposition in Zimbabwe since 1999. And ultimately, this has shown that it is Nelson Chamisa.
Zimbabwe holds a general elections next year, which the issue of deteriorating economy may decide which way the vote goes. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Harare, Zimbabwe.
Now, shout out there to Mr. Columbus Mavunga, VOA correspondent, who was explaining more on the outcome of the March 26 by-elections. But now here at Studio 7, we managed to get a hold of Mr. Danford Ngatsuore, who is one of the young people that emerged victorious at the March 26 by-elections. He is the former and now the new councillor of Ward 16, Harare West. So we're going to talk about his campaign and what he looks to do for the residents of Ward 16, Harare West. Now, for some people, they're wondering, Mike, why would you say he is the former and now the new? Danford Ngatsuore was amongst some of the opposition members that were recalled. Some were recalled from Parliament and some were recalled from council, which is what led to the by-elections that were held over the weekend. So now let's head over to that conversation that I had with Danford Ngatsuore, who talks more not just about his recalling, but him coming back into office and what he has plans for the residents of Ward 16, Harare West.
No, thank you very much. I actually want to thank my citizens for my work. They've done wonders. It was a tough campaign because that we're campaigning from a new political party that was formed about 2 months ago. And also we're working from a zero budget. As you are aware, from the former, they've taken everything from us. So it was something which was funded by citizens themselves. So sometimes they honor their problems, sometimes they didn't. But obviously the funding was not up to expectation because the budget was huge. But because we have the support of the citizens, the campaign was made easier. So what I can say is that we have a classic campaign where we have been engaging every voter in the community. My focus was on voters. I just wanted to focus more on those people who are yet to register because it was a by-election. So I should make sure that I get conduct, I engage every voter. So I jump some door to doors, engaging every person. Which I use the party structures. I also use the engagement through resident associations. I have about 90 suburbs in my ward. And the 3,400 households. So I used the resident associations for each suburb to engage voters. So it also bringing results. I also engaged religious groups because we have many churches. I think we have more than 60 Pentecostal churches in this world. So I engaged those people and they also helped me. So my campaign was made it easier because that I didn't have enough resources. So that where we are now, and I'm pleased with even the results. The results themselves, they are. It means that the residents from what we see, they have confidence in me, they have confidence in the CPC party, they have confidence in President Tamisa. We are really grateful because if you look from the previous by-election results, we once held a by-election in this community. Last time, although the previous party didn't contest the MDC in 2014, but during that year in 2014, the by-election was contested by ZANU-PF and the other parties. All total votes were less than 600 votes. The total of votes for the whole by-election. But for this by-election, it was 4,000 plus voters who come out to vote in a single ward. While in other constituencies, it was the total number of voters who cast their vote using that number. So from my view, I'm impressed with the turnout from the residents.
All right, Danford, thank you so much for taking time out to be with us. One thing you just highlighted in your initial statement here is that you employed tactics that were based on communicating with registered voters within your constituency, which was a very good tactic, clearly, because that's why you won. But now talk to us about the importance of communicating with them and ensuring that they go out and vote.
After the illegal recall from the former party, I continue engaging residents. I continue assisting where I can. So it makes me easier to engage with the area voter in the community because already there was a communication, there was a conduct. And also because I use the local citizen, local resident in the locality of the each suburb. So it makes me easier because I didn't want people who want to transport maybe to go and mobilize because I'll be using the people from that locality.
Now, Danford, we have highlighted here that you're returning to public office, but this isn't your first time in public office. You're returning to a seat that you previously retained before you were recalled. Talk to us about what you plan on doing differently this time now that you're back in council.
Definitely, we now have a new matter, new strategy. We are now saying citizens first. So whatever the decision that we were going to make at the council level, we should include citizens. by consultation and also asking for their input. So there is no difference. When we used to have the meetings maybe once a year or whatever, although it's personal level, I've done many meetings in the council. But obviously, now it's not very different again because we are now putting citizens on the center of every decision making. So that there will be a difference. Why put citizens on the center? Where we are failing to offer solutions, we should ask citizens. What can we do on this particular issue? Citizens might give a solution. The council might also try to implement that from the citizens. So obviously, by engaging citizens, they will be part of the solution. Mm-hmm. So this one is not a different strategy.
It's moving forward. Denford, experts say your first 100 days in office are arguably the most important in terms of setting precedents. So your, constituency understands more in terms of what your vision is. So talk to us about your plan for your first 100 days in office.
During my campaign, to be honest with you, I didn't promise anything to the residents.
Mm-hmm.
Because my previous term was cut short by the legal recall. So during this term, I didn't even promise anything to the residents. But what I promised in 2018 is a continuation of what I promised. There are the things that I implemented, there are the things that I achieved during my 1 year, 4 months in the council. So this is the thing which I have carried over as we move towards 2018. But I'm glad during that 1 year, 4 months, there are a number of achievements that I have made. One, people have been complaining in this community about the community hall. There is no community hall. Most councils have been coming and going, coming in and out, but without solving that issue. But during that 1 year, 4 months, I am glad we have secured the place, the ground. So the plan is now been approved during my tenure when I was still in the office. And that plan is now available. Obviously, the new issue is now is to try to find a contractor or a partnership so that we can build that in. That community hall. So maybe what I will focus more in this period, maybe is to do the groundbreaking so that we can also invite other players to support this thing. So to me, it's an achievement because community was something which is better with the community. Because it's something which is cheaper if it is a community hall from council. While these other people, when they want to do their weddings or even meetings, it will be easier for them, even churches. So to me, it's an achievement because people have been complaining about that issue. And that's the same thing. Then the other issue is the issue of Sendosa and water. Serious improvement of water in Sendosa and other areas in Neboren, around Neboren area. Reason being, when I was elected, my first task was to find a solution to the water crisis. So what I done, I invited all stakeholders, all residents, Mayor Gomba by then, other engineers, director of water. We had the meeting in Neboren district office to come up with a solution. There are suggestions, and we implement each of the suggestions, and we are pleased. After 2020, before even my legal recall, there was an improvement in Sendosa. That issue again, reasons are happy because it took about 17 years for them without their water, but it was implemented within 1 year, smart. Then the other issue of COVID, for 2 years people have been suffering from COVID because government failed to give some questioning to vendors, informal vendors. As they are promised. So, you know, bless the community, the church, the business, and they give us many food staff, including the ambas. So, we donated those ambas to the elderly, people living with disability, food work, and so forth. They were great during that period. About nearly 5,000 households benefited from that program that we did, although that program benefited also what the one in Maupra. So these are some of the issues. Then the other issue is the issue of dam clearing. When I was elected, there was a lot of dams in the community. So during that period between 2018 and 2019, I had the serious cleanup campaigns which I invited stakeholders, residents, and also other bodies in the council. And we managed to clear all dam sites. Although right now they have still resurfaced, but obviously because there was no one, there was no representation in the council. So there are many achievements, which also include even employment. Because of serious employment, there's serious drug abuse, people are especially the youth. So I invest the business in our community. You understand that when most of the people they change their houses into the commercial purposes. So they are now running businesses. There's also another Bluffing Industrial Park, which is also in the community. We wrote a letter to all the CEOs and general managers to say, if you have an employment opportunity, can you contact the local? And they were great. During that period, almost nearly 80 youths benefited from that saying he only goes from the service center, from the guards in the service. So these are the issues that I achieved during that period. So when I want to finish this term, but like, to me it's more like a promise from the very former party, obviously I will determine this time around with a new target, with a new strategy, new party, or even new vision, because we're now putting on the center. So I expect during that period of 1 year, 3 months, to be able to implement all the remaining areas.
Mm-hmm.
Which also includes the issue of road maintenance, specialized, and so forth. But the issue of road maintenance is a very complex issue, it's very serious, because money is being collected by SNARA. Instead of arrest, supposed to repair roads. So, obviously, there is need for us to engage at the level of government and also SNARA, at least. We expose certain things because we cannot take responsibility to the things we are not supposed to take responsibility. So if we demand SNARA to take over the vehicle license and also even the road maintenance, be it. And on the issue of the street light, you are aware, SNARA took over everything from Kanzo long back. And they remained, the city of Harare remained within street lights. Only street lights is the thing that we are supposed to repair as Kanzo. But this is the only thing which doesn't bring even revenue. So these are things which we also need to interrogate as we move forward. It's possible such a took over everything. But they are taking over the necessity from domestic and also from the commercial. If possible, they also took over the repair of electricity in the street lights, at least the force for the village. There is no revenue that is coming from the street lights. So these are the issues that we need to interrogate. And the issue also of water and other issues. So there are many issues that we intend to try and solve. But obviously, we cannot solve everything because of the limited time I have from today.
What about the youth, Denford? You briefly touched on the youth there, but this is a youth program, so I want to delve deeper on that one. As we approach your 100 days, as we delve into your 100 days, sorry, you just started, what exactly do you have planned for the youth?
What I need to prioritize is about the issue of equipping the youth with the high schools.
Mm-hmm.
There are many things that we intend to do so that at least every youth can do something. This will limit drug abuse. This will remove even marijuana cases. This will remove marijuana cases. So there are many training schools. We are starting back on graduate school lessons for the youth so that at least they can also get something to do. So this program can also be a combination as we go towards 2023 or even moving forward. So our issue mainly will continue with the youth engagement platforms where we see what we don't want currently, because we are now with the new information, we don't want to impose the programs. Every program should come from the youth engagement. So we are going to have a youth consultative meetings in the community very soon, where we share ideas, where we present the programs, and the solutions should come from the youth, and it will be ours for the village to implement those things. So this program can also be benefiting the women as well.
I was talking about Wakanakam Koma Denford. Let me hold you on the line there. So that I can translate our entire conversation for our Ndebele audience. And then when I come back to you, we're going to wrap up this conversation. Zulukandaba yebo, Zulukandaba sithanda ubonga wonke umuntu ongenayo kuhlelo, kuhlelo lwethu labasakhulayo. Sikhuluma nje sixoxele sakhulayo uDenford Ntatsore oyebandla leCCC. Nguye osengukhansela ku-Ward 16 eHarare West. Unqobe kukhetho lwama-by-election umuntu ongisakhulayo silayo kuhlelo. Sike sambuzo, sesimbuzile izinto eziningi uDenford Ntatsore mayelana ngomkankaso wakhe njalo ukuthi yena ukhangela ukwenza izinto ezinjani ukuthuthukisa impilo zabasakhulayo, impilo zezakhamizi zonke abasakhulayo, abantu abadala, abantu abesifazane. Yena uDenford uyasho ngempela ukuthi uthabe kakhulu ukuthi nguye onqobe kukhetho lolu ngenxa yokuthi njengoba ibandla leCCC elikhokhelwa ngu-Advocate Nelson Chamisa bengela imali eningi, uyasho ngempela ukuthi yena ikhampeni yakhe ubengela imali eningi, kodwa usekelo lwezakhamizi lumsize kakhulu ukuthi ayenelise ukunqoba kukhetho lolu, ikakhulukazi usekelo oluvela kuma-church. uphinde ngiphinde ngambuza ngempela ukuthi njengoba nguye onqobe ukhetho lolu lwama by elections kuyini akhangelela ukwenzela izakhamizi zeHarare West. Uyasho ngempela ukuthi njengoba nguye onqobe uza qhakathekisa izinto ezifana logesi, ama street lights, ukutholakala kwamanzi, njalo ukuthi kube lenhlelo ezikhona eHarare West ezijonge ukuthuthukisa abantu abasakhulayo kanye labesifazane, kakhulukazi nxa sisikhangela inhlelo ezilapho ukubona ukuthi abantu abasakhulayo ontanga balakho ukuthola indlela zokusiphandela ukuthi bayenelise ukwenza imali zokuziphilisa. So yikho kusanda ukusho ngumnumzana uDanford Ngatsore, nguye onqobe kukhetho lwama-by elections at Harare West Ward 16. Mkhoma Danford, tho uya kwamuremu tshiphethele hurukuro yedu ngatimbozi yainyai nerimiro amai tshosangane kuti makorokoto nekubudirira musarudzo dzemabai elections. Ndachikumbira kuti muudzewo vateereri kana kuti vagari vemunharaunda yenyu kuti zvii zvamakavarongera sezvo ndichiimika masarudzo kuti muve kanzer.
Chokutanga vanhagari vemunharaunda, ndine zvatakavapromisa mu2018 zvinhu izvozvo ndezvevandipedzise kufamba pake ndakandiri. Reason being ndekuti izvo my team was cut short, so pandiri kudzoka izvezvi ndiri kundopedzisa zvinhu izvozvo. Pandaikampaina paelection inei andida kubvira ndapedzisa anything, andida kupromisa promisa anything, because ndakamapromisa in 2018 ndikadiriva zvimwe ndakadiriva. So ipo pandakadzoka ipapo ndakandaa mulevo yekuti izvo ndikwanise kuti ndipedzise tem iyoyo, ndikwanise kudiriva ndizvo ndakatodiriva panguva iyoyo. So thisizi pandiri kuenda, but pane zvinhu zvakawanda zvandinoziva ndakadiriva zvinosanganisira kupisa marara mucommunity muna 2018. Ndakadiriva zvakare zvinosanganisira nyaya yecommunity war. Munoziva kuti mumucommunity hamuna community war kubva kuwest kusvika kuti kumaobora hatina community war. So its a challenge. Maresident vaitaura kuti aiwa, can you help us tiwane community war? So during my term year 1 year 4 months ndakakwanisa kuita kuti pipe planning ikaapprova community war, and I'm very grateful. Tokwanisa kuita ground breaking community hall, then we look for partnership. Papanya zvakare ine chokuita nema street lights nemaaxiana and richard. I push kuti kuite mama traffic lights kune nzvimbo dzakasiyana siyana. So ndizvo zvakaita, and is a coordination as we move forward. So there are many projects dzakaitika dzakaachirwa pa 1 year 4 months.
Mukoma Danford, mungori negore rimwe cheche muri muoffice up until 2023. Apo muchange muchikwikwidza zvekare musarudzo dzemageneral elections kuna 2023. Zvii zvamakatarisira kuitira vagari vemunharaunda yenyu kuitira kuti vakusarudzei zvekare apo muchange muchikwikwidza muna 2023?
Chokutanga ndokanopedzisa temu. Pandokupedzisa temu ndotarisira kuti izvo pane nyaya nechokuita nemvura. Ndakaimprova mvura musendosa, sokutaura namba ita kuti sendosa yange isina mvura for 17 years. But after ndaunza mayor nema engineer nema local experts takara pa meeting pa district office, sendosa yakawana mvura. Ndakapedza kuwana mvura 2004 ikazawana mvura in 2020. So vanhu vekusendosa, those houses especially muna Trafalgar and so on, they are really grateful because idambudziko raro aitaura even pandakamira 2018. So idambudziko iro zvakare riri nemamwe maareas anotipedzise, so that atleast vanhu ivavo vaite. So nyaya yewater pari pane nyaya zvakare inokwanisa kuti iitwe, nyaya yekugadzira infrastructure yemvura mapipe maandagano pipes ari kunoko. Government necouncil vakambochinja maandagano pananabiogenora kunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokunokun one membrane. And every time that negative Mvura, the pump station in the supply Mvura from membrane, you know, Papa, I want to use pump station. There's no missing Mvura yet. My serious, my base type, I'm living, I know it's what. Maybe 10, 20 per zoo. So it comes because solution is the deputy. So they will change your type of replacement. Obviously, you cannot do that in Marine Marines. But Marine Marines cannot. During your type of replacement. My memories can do maybe in your repair checks, but your replacement may be partnership or funding from other players. So in your end, you said, oh, please, can I bring in Mbura, 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 but if I would change all my underground price. So my issues are around even a road, but I'm going to road in here is Nara. Nara, it's a full responsibility. But in the Mari, you're the foot in my road, because I was. Or one of the silver. So that we take it for the finish.
Now, as we wrap up, Mr. Ngatsuwe, I'd like to, I guess, wrap up in English here so that everybody understands what you're saying. One thing you've highlighted throughout this conversation is the power of the citizens or the power of residents in ensuring that if they really want a candidate, they can make sure that that candidate is successful, especially considering the campaign that you ran with a very minimum budget. What words do you have for the youth who are yet to register to vote, especially looking at the fact that we're now focusing on 2023? What words would you have for the youth and, I guess, your residents who are going to be supporting you again in 2023?
Police is coming in April. We're going to have a program. I told you about police. We're going to have some voters. So I'm going to send that out here. I'm going to have my brain shops. I'm going to have my youth, my ASIC, my church, my vendor. I'm going to have some voters. It has been here. Thank you.
I am Zulukanda Badisanduzo Ingo for ANZ, Lord Denford Ngatsuwe Osakhulayo, Owebandlela CCC. He is the new councillor of Ward 16, Harare West. Congratulations, Mr. Ngatsuwe, one more time there. And congratulations to all the young people that emerged victorious and are going to be representatives in parliament and representatives in council. But Muriye Zimbabwe, Ingo for through our conversation about the by-election doesn't just end here with Mr. Ngatsuwe. I also reached out to Nigel Ndlovu. We've had him on the show. He's a friend of the show, speaking about the by-elections. Now, Nigel Ndlovu, for those who do not know about him, he's a youth rights activist, and he was also a polling agent at Makwekwe for these by-elections. So let's head over to a conversation that I had with Nigel, whereby he tells me more about what he saw at his polling station, and of course, his thoughts on how this by-election could be a reflection of the 2023 elections.
By-elections over the weekend. And it turned out Yavantu wasn't what we expected in the political environment in Zimbabwe. We thought Yavantu was a Puma, a voter. We thought Yavantu was a voter. Apart is key, obviously key, I'm a key. So we call us over Feta, Avanda Vanding is in Baba Vanda, something gets into the politics. The kids who are studied with Boy Elect. You call in the Galenia weekend day. Go to Hulamayama Feta, AFT by election day. Obumi, you call no Kukuchi, even Lomkat, Noluka Lomkat. This will be the scene of a cool new weekend. So I want to be the best of a kettle shredded anything. And then any challenge we call like what is it? I saw Zangaya inform Avantu Guchi Avantava register. Is it after 20 November 2020? The Ativa Kwanis we participate in Uma by elections now. So Mbole, Uti name, any name, especially youth, the BBC president in the city, is the Kibachin which our source of the Kwanisu voter and our voter over Avani register last year. So, I'm up by elections. I think that the FUNA is the cut to FUNA Avandava register before 20 November 2020, which was a big disappointment, especially for China. Amanyama Vanda, other cases, and you mobilize my youth, which is a vote. Even my NGOs now, I think I have seen that I could, which is a multi, especially in time, when it's who participated in my by elections.
Hayi, siyabonga Nigel ngokungena kuhlelo lwethu lwabasakhulayo kanye namazwi akho. Uthintile udaba oluqakathekile ngempela, udaba lolwazi emayelana ngohlelo lokuvota. Ubona ngani uZulu sokumele aqakathekise inhlelo lezina ikakhulukazi njengoba sesilungiselela ukhetho luka-2023?
I think i-challenge ekhona kithi lapha eZimbabwe ukuthi abantu abaningi Avala Ulwazi, voter education ayikho. Over the weekend, I also witnessed a lot of people being turned away because they thought their ward was voting, whereas it wasn't. For instance, we had 29, bringing up by-election. By-election, we had 18. So we told them to go at 29, and we are at 18 in the city of Funoko vote. So there's a lot of voter education which needs to be done, especially, I think, our political parties. It must be helped by even his aid and then Lama NGOs. Actually, everyone, also Zimbabwe, must all of us be in the voter education, in the ngama elections kumele zama ukuphathisa uzulu ukuthi zama ukufundisa uzulu because abantu abaningi njengo even ukuthi irole ka MP iyini irole ka councillor iyini abantu abaningi abakwazi bafuna ukuhamba besiya vota nxa bekwazi ukuthi uvotwa nini ukuthi by election yini. So there are so many loopholes in the system yet ukuthi our people don't even know what they are voting for. One, our people don't even know the processes or what ZEC is supposed to do. The mandate is ZEC. People don't even know. So there's a lot of, like, I think the government has to roll out a massive voter education program before even 2023 so that we have free and fair and credible elections. It's pointless to have elections, which is true, which I'm going to vote. I think it was about the census quarters that were the same guy. What I read is we are close to 15 million. So I told you about voting or what you are one, which is a big hindrance. Moba, Amanda, I voted, even our version of a voter over and over again. People are loyal to political parties, people are loyal to certain individuals. So I think if we are to see real change in Zimbabwe, we need our people to be educated, especially when I want to always look at my town. What's more, emaphandleni, we've got a serious problem. People don't know. People don't know, and it's going to really affect 2023 as well.
Nigel, what exactly were your thoughts on ukuphatheka kwabatsha abantu abasakhulayo kukhetho olusanda kudlula ukhetho lwama-by-elections?
Well, like I said previously, a lot of young people were turned away, so a lot of young people did not participate. For instance, I was a polling agent. At 18, and what I witnessed was very disappointing. I think I saw less than 20 young people coming to vote. The majority was the elders. We had about the polling station young with about 6 assisted voters. People were around 80-90 years old. So it's really disappointing for young people not to participate. Nyakwazi bakhona ama youth ga avota ngo 2018 kodwa angibabona lokhu zenzi ku-ward 18. Ward 18 there were 900 and something registered voters ku polling station eMkhali A. Kubuya abantu abangu 176, which means the vote rate was less than 40%, I think. It's really disappointing because people didn't turn up and a lot of young people didn't turn up. Those who were there, even the polling agents, my youth, it's really disappointing. Over, I'm born among youth in Ghana, politics, and I think women is cutters in my youth. Participate in the politics. Even ungene kulokhu zini ungene kuma civic organization ube observer xa ungafuna ukungena kupolitics. Xa ufuna ukungena kupolitics ungena kuma structures amaphathi sibone lathi ama-youth esenza something kupolitics ngoba engikubone kuma-by elections ama-youth ebengekho and I think la ama-youth ebengakwazi ukuthi ama-by elections yikwini sesibuyela futhi endabeni ye-voter education.
Now Nigel, lapha bengicela ukuthi uphendule ngesiNgisi so that everybody understands. When we were watching the rallies, held by Advocate Nelson Chamisa, held by President Emmerson Mnangagwa, and the candidates themselves that were competing in the by-elections, we were seeing a large turnout of people at these rallies. However, you and other polling agents have highlighted one thing, is that the turnout of voters was very low. Tell us, what exactly happened to the people?
Well, when we look at what's on the ground, and I think what I can say is the political landscape is different on social media. It's also different on the ground when we talk about grassroots. The people who actually go and vote are not the people you see in rallies. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people just go to rallies to see the leader of a certain political party. But that does not mean those people in the rallies are the people who are going to participate in the voting process. And then in terms of voter apathy, a lot of people, especially this side in Machiavelli games, most people have given up in politics. And I think it's high time as political parties, as political leaders to try and reignite the fire in people so that people participate in this important process, the electoral process, because this is what we want. We want people to choose the leaders they want. We want people to choose competent leaders. So if people don't participate, we'll have a disaster in local government. We'll also have a disaster in national government because we're having the same people voting and the same people voting for the same people who are corrupt, the same people won't deliver. So I think we really need a massive voter education program, maybe to be rolled out by the government. And we also need CSOs to also come on board. We also need churches. We also need individuals who are aware about the political landscape, who are aware about voter education and what the people need to know in terms of the information which they need to know when it comes to elections and government processes.
Now, Nigel, the by-elections have come and gone, but campaigning will obviously continue, including from people who just entered into, I guess, public office. What words of advice would you have for the youth who are going to be observing this entire period between now and the 2023 general elections?
Well, what I would say to young people, I would love to really encourage young people to participate in politics. Politics means our future. Politics is about now. Politics is about what are you going to vote for. Politics is about your hospital. Politics is about your new school. Politics is about your job. Politics is about, politics is everything. So I would love to see young people participating not only in political parties. Young people also need to be there as observers. Young people need to be there as activists, speaking out against some bad political practices in the country. And I would love to encourage youth in Makwekwe, especially youth in even in Papua, youth from around Zimbabwe. I was with Studio 7, I told you that I was in the Mapandeni. Ontanga, youth 18 to 35, I would like to support a party.
Now, Nigel, you just touched on something there that I really would like to expand on. Angibuze kancane mnumzana ukuthi ungathini tu umuntu osakhulayo yena ubona ngane zombusazi akasifuni yena uthi hi all he wants is ukuthola umsebenzi njalo indlela zokuzithuthukisa empilweni and live in a very conducive environment kodwa njengokukhuthaza kwakho yena ukuthi indaba zombusazi yena akasifuni. What would you say to umuntu onjalo olombono onjalo?
It's your duty as a young person, which is doing it. It's not Donjano. Now, Pongusala and Yemi, Pongusala and Kelen, Pongu complainer, who participate in politics, or work, or who are affected, but in politics. Either way, whether we tell them they are participator, who are participate, the politics have affected. Also, the children saying, now, a parang to write is condemned. Also, the children saying, Gawa participate in the constitution making process and in the governance. Also, Impilaka is also the so, in that, Umtawa, especially Mountain, who says about, isn't those things. And the Shabbat, which is the root cause of our problem, is our political arena, is the political field, is the political playing field. And, why isn't those things right? I wouldn't do it alone. ubatshona ukhalakhala usithi mina ngiyena ku-politics kodwa laba babe ku-politics bazayelokhele zami ulungisa izinto njalo izinto zingalunga bona abade beku-forefront belungisisa izinto yibo labo izinto zizabalungela futhi so either way whether uparticipate whether you participate i-politics yakwafeki ngizatshela yena lo o-politics ayimafeki ngiyakwazi baningi so ngithanda ukuthikhuthaza ukuthi asingeheli ku-politics either way we are participating or we are participating, politics will always affect you.
Well, Maria Zimbabwe, shout out there to Nigel and Love, who was joining us at Lapa Bushelo Lechulaba Sapulayo, Bushelo The Connection. Now, Maria Zimbabwe, as we wrap up tonight's show and reach the tail end of the show, I want to shift focus from the by-elections in Zimbabwe to Ukraine, an East European nation that is currently experiencing ongoing military aggression from their neighbor, Russia. Now, over the past month, the world's eyes have been on Ukraine, not just Africa, not just America, not just Europe, but the entire globe has been focusing on Ukraine as the East European nation is currently facing ongoing military aggression from its neighbor, Russia. Now, as this war started, and as I highlighted a couple of weeks back when we focused on the war in Ukraine, when this war started, Maria Zimbabwe, it has impacted the lives of thousands of African students who are all based in Ukraine, who all turn to Ukraine for a better education. But now, a lot of these African students, amongst them Zimbabweans, have been forced to flee the Eastern European nation and seek of safety. Now, a lot of them are still in Europe. Some are still in Ukraine, which you're going to hear more from. And some have been able to return home and are continuing their studies online. But to hear more about how this war has impacted the lives of African students, before we delve into our conversation with Tinashe Chamunorwa, who is the young person we're going to be speaking to who managed to flee this war, let's head over to a video report that we have whereby African students who are still in Ukraine in the midst of the war speak more on their experiences.
Lizzie Ogaji searches through her phone for an update on the war in Ukraine, hoping for positive news, but finding little to lift her hopes. Her brothers trapped in Kherson, a Ukrainian city occupied by invading Russian forces. She says he tried to escape the war-torn city this week, but was turned around by the Russian military.
I am worried, like seriously worried, because each time I turn to the television, turn to the channel, listen to the scene, the headlines and the news. In short, my heart aches.
Her son fell to Russian forces in early March, days after the invasion started, trapping hundreds of international students like Ogaji's brother in the city. For weeks, they have been living in extremely cold bomb shelters with limited access to food, medicines, and the internet. Nigerian authorities have promised to evacuate the students, but say that can only happen with a ceasefire in place. Many students have been making individual escape attempts. Jerry Kenny, who mobilized a pack of foreign nationals trapped in Kherson, just made it out.
We ran out of food, water, and I was out of cash.
Some of the students escaping Kherson have received aid from non-profit groups trying to evacuate foreign nationals from the city. Danielle Onyekwere from U.S.-based Diaspora Relief says the evacuations are risky and expensive.
Right now, we're not going off of any safe corridor. There is no humanitarian corridor as of this time. What we're going off with is just routes that we know locals have taken that they made it. So it's still a risk on its own, but it's just like, why not try then, you know, still stay stranded there while we're waiting on negotiations, especially if things are getting worse.
For now, Ogaji's brother remains stuck in Ukraine, but she says her daily communication with him gives her family hope.
He never gives all. See, he never showed any negative feelings of the situation in Ukraine. So he always encouraged me. He would say, don't worry, sis, I will be fine.
No one knows if a ceasefire will be agreed upon anytime soon. For now, an escape attempt might be his only chance to leave Kherson. Timothy Obiezu for VOA News, Abuja, Nigeria.
You heard there from African students, Maria Zimbabwe, speaking for themselves, talking about their experiences who are still in Ukraine amidst this ongoing Russian aggression. But now, let us head over to the conversation that I had with Tinashe Chamunorwa, who is a young Zimbabwean. We had him on the show a couple of weeks back talking, and at the time, he was still in Ukraine. Now, Tinashe has safely evacuated Ukraine and is now in South Africa. So I talked to Tinashe about his experience as he moves from one point to the other and as he fled the war. So let's hear more from Tinashe Chamunorwa.
Okay. So after that interview, I think I then decided to move from Ukraine because of the situation that there seemed to be no changes. So I then decided to leave Ukraine, but I still, I mean, my city was still safe, so I just decided to move because there were no changes, and my dean helped me to get like a private car to the border of Slovakia. So I moved to Slovakia, and then when I got to Slovakia, there were like a refugee camp, and there were like free buses that would take us to any city that we wished to go. So like everything was okay, and the people they took good care of us, and so after that I stayed in Slovakia for like a day, and then I decided to go to Hungary because my friends in Hungary and they're saying that Hungary is good. So then went to Hungary. There's also there was this agent that I was talking to. She was working with the ambassador. And that ambassador is like from Zim, so she's the one that helped most Zimbabweans get like free tickets from any location that you'd be, like any self location that you'd be, beat Hungary, beat Romania, or whatever. So yeah, when I got to Hungary, I met the people and they helped me get my ticket. So I stayed in Hungary for like 5 days because I think there were no tickets like for like in those days, so I'd wait for like 5 days, and after that I left Hungary to Zim, and then from Zim I'm now in SA. So but the journey, everything was okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just that at the border there were a lot of people, so yeah, it took some time. But I think only like 5 to 6 hours, but everything was okay.
Tinashe, once again, thank you so much for joining us again on the show. The last time we spoke, you were still in Ukraine. Thank God you're still alive. Thank God you're in a safe environment. I'm a little curious. Let's backtrack to when this whole thing it began. What exactly motivated you to want to go study in Ukraine in the first place?
Oh, this for me, I had a brother and a friend that were studying there, and everything seemed so well for them. Like, the one that motivated me to go to Ukraine right now is a doctor in the United States, and he also managed to work with the United Nations. Like, he's getting paid a lot, so because of that, I was like, there are opportunities in Ukraine, so I should definitely go there. And had also links, it was good for me to go there. Because other countries like, you know, Cyprus, China, a lot of people were going there, but only a few people were talking about Ukraine, so I was like, let me go and see what's in Ukraine, and yeah.
And what was your evaluation of Ukraine up until the war broke out?
Everything was okay, like, where I was staying, there's no racism, and everything was just good, because my city is so quiet, and it actually managed to be in the top 5 of the most peaceful and quiet cities in Europe, so everything was good in that city, and the people are nice, our teachers are nice, like, you know, my program is very difficult, but the teachers that we have, they make it easy for us to understand, they understand us, they help us, they don't, you can't even notice that you're African in that day, because just like they would just be treating me like a family. And for me, everything was good. The only problem that I had is that to get an opportunity to work in Ukraine, like, you know, just get maybe some part-time job, that one is difficult because you need to know their language very well. You need to speak Ukraine like that good. So you need to be that good. And that's the only difficult part because, you know, you need some money to take care of yourself in case there's a family problem and all those. So that was the only difficult part. But the rest, everything was good. Everything was okay.
Now, with that in mind, Tinashe, talk to us more about how this Ukraine crisis or the war between Ukraine and Russia has impacted your life as a young Zimbabwean who was studying in Ukraine and, of course, your studies.
So, before this war, I had a lot of plans, like, within this year, and because of this war, like, changed everything, all those plans, like, everything is just really messed up. Because I can't do a lot of things this year, but this way has like delayed or stopped some of those plans or things that I was planning to do. So I've just been at a crossroad, you know, like I don't know which way to take. Other people are transferring, other people are saying this, but even for me, I'm at a crossroad. I don't even know, like, what am I supposed to do? And fortunately for us, for now, we've started our classes, like online classes, but they're also having some problems to maintain like the schedule because, you know, you still remember about the sirens that I told you about?
Yes.
Yeah, so because of those sirens, our teachers will be forced to maybe cut the lesson because they are still in Ukraine. But we have resumed our classes, our online classes, and yeah, there's been some progress, but still, no one knows when this war will end. And if you watch the news, our president, Vladimir Putin, is not like quitting. It's not like he's going to stop anytime from now. And Ukraine is also not going to surrender. So this thing can take, you know, sometimes war can take years, months. No one knows.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, I'm at a crossroad because I have to give my parents a feedback of like what I want to do. I want to continue my life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, transferring, like being an undergraduate, transferring to other schools is very difficult because for me, it was maybe easy because of this, but if you are like somewhere safe, they'll say, but it's for you, you're already in your country, everything is well for you. It's different from people that have just left Ukraine. So for me right now, it's that difficult to get an opportunity out there. And there's need for a lot of money because, you know, this thing caught us by surprise. It's not like people paying their money for anything because they're just finished paying our school fees and everything. And then this was started. So I'm at a crossroad and things are pretty dumb.
Well, Maria Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from African students talking about the war in Ukraine and how it has affected their lives. Our time is up here. You just heard from African students. You heard from Tinashe Chamunorwa. I would also like to thank Danford Ngatsuore, who won in the March 26 by-elections. He was a candidate for the CCC. He is the new councillor of Ward 16, Harare West. Siyabonga ngempela Danford. Sithandubonga njalo uNigel Ndlovu, who was a polling agent in Makwekwe. He's a youth rights activist there. Sithandubonga uNigel Ndlovu. Thank you so much, Nigel, for taking time out to be with us. Now, Muriel Zimbabwe, tashuka kumakumo chirongwa chelu chanasi, sesfigile mapitule no shelo lechu, Babasakulayo at Mike_ on Twitter and Instagram is my username. So if you're looking to chat with me, you can catch me there. I want to lewa namusha, tshwakazo moshe, Zimbabwe moshe, tashuka kumakumo chirongwa chelu chanasi. Anokoneka inemfaro, njini wenye Mike Hove, uole vandisayo, njavulo. Tshwakazo moshe, Zimbabwe moshe. Let's meet same time, same place. Right here on Studio 7, Live Talk, The Connection, with your boy Mike Hove, Muriel Zimbabwe. Have a good night. That's Sangane. Same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.